Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog Podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where two old guys, you vaguely hear Trainsy in the background.
I didn't even hear Trainsy. I don't think the listener's going to hear
Trainsy. If you squint your ears really hard, talk about old games. Going back to the Super Nintendo again this week. Because we didn't know what we were going to do last week, so we didn't say anything. And we just decided just the other day. Yeah, we had Paul and Chandra on, did back-to-back. That was like, don't fucking know. So I had mentioned this game a long time ago.
Yeah,
One of them I've been mentioning, and the other one I have mentioned.
Wednesday's episode, yeah. I'm looking forward to recording Wednesday's episode.
So I won't bring it up anymore.
So I never have to hear about it again.
Well, today, yes. On this glorious Monday.
Yes.
I guess we're recording it on Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day yesterday.
Yes, I hope.
Happy Valentine's Day, Dave.
Happy Valentine's Day, Tyler.
By default, we're just Valentine's.
I know. It's true. That's what I told Nikki when I hugged her when I left. I was like, happy Valentine's Day. I'm going over to Tyler's for 6 hours.
I wish I could have found those old Michael Jordan Valentines and I would have gotten you one. But today we're going to be doing the SNES, qualifies as a hidden gem.
I agree.
Skyblazer.
I would say this is definitely a hidden gem. Spoilers.
But first, I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I was thinking about something the other day, because a friend of mine has a daughter who is, Brandy Gadsby's daughter is now like officially a teenager.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
So yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
That's not good.
She's thinking about having her put down.
Yeah. It's terminal.
But she was talking about her, and then that made me think about last time I was Meg and I were giving Kenna a bath.
Made me think of teenage girls.
Yeah. And Meg was giving Kenna a bath and then likes to ask Kenna, like, where's Kenna's nose?
Yeah.
Kenna pulled her nose. Where's Kenna's ears?
Yes.
And Meg is very specific that she wants to use medical terminology for genitals. For red touch areas, bathing suit areas, whatever you want to call it. So after going through ears, nose, mouth, eyes, where's Kenna's vulva? And like, Kenna's been pretty on point, you know, this whole time. Meg asked her that, and Kenna literally gives her a, the fuck you talking about, face?
Here's what you should do. You need to juxtapose that and like just make like non-medical terms for eyes and ears. Like, where's your peepers?
She does call the chin her chin chopper. Yeah. So like, no, chin chopper is fine, but you know, vulva. No, medical terminology only. But I know a lot of other people like call it a nunu or a tutu or
nunu. I've heard.
Yeah, bajingo, whatever.
Bajingo.
Plenty of terms. I called mine a gooter, whatever.
Yeah.
And
you called your vulva
a my vulva, my boy vulva.
Your vulva.
Mulva. But so I was thinking, like, what exactly is the transition period to where you'll go from a childhood nickname to having like a cock or a pussy?
The moment someone giggles when you say it, like, that's it.
I mean, is it only like whenever it has a sexual function?
No, I don't think so, man. Because like, I remember distinctly being in elementary school and referring to my worm, and then some other children tittering, and I was like, I gotta find another word. And then like being on the school bus the next day, being like, hey, what do you guys call your penis? What do you call it? Teach me your ways.
So that has led me the rabbit hole to like, all right, so I understand the medical terminology thing, but what if like You just wanted to avoid the transition period and just called it like a cock or a pussy just from
just right
from
out the gate.
The start. So I remember like whenever Kenna was having one of her checkups, like the doctor's fully checking her out. And like whenever he got to checking like her vulva, like part of me would wanted to push him.
I know.
And be like, what the fuck, man? So then that brought me to the period of me.
Was he like licking his lips, like stroking his beard?
He's a good doctor. Just it is fucking it has offended me that somebody's gonna do that to my daughter. I understand the medical necessity. Yeah. But like, then it just leads me down to the scenario of like something's wrong with her, so I have to like, doctor, something wrong with my daughter's cunt. I mean, how weird is that then? Like, man, my boy won't stop pulling at his cock.
Just won't do it. What? I don't. I feel like maybe you should have pushed him because it's like I feel like at that age, the only thing they need to check is like to make sure that it's there.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Vulva got it. Check. All right. How about the chin chomper?
Nope. Yep. She got her chin chopper. Her tooth sees. Nope. That pussy's fine. So I guess medical terminology is just like overall probably the best way to go. But
I guess. What's up, internet? I am Dave. I am your bespectacled host. And Nicole gave me something that I'm going to use as an easy out for an intro story. She received something in her aching box just not too long ago. And then the other night, we all went to go see Deadpool. And at Chong's, she handed me this envelope, which is from Mr. Michael. Let me go ahead and read his address to you real quick.
Well, he made a method to make himself anonymous.
Yes. So I know I guess it's Michael. It's just Michael H. And then the rest of the name on the address label is scratched out.
But we can see it though. We know what it is.
We can see it. Yeah. I learned something on Reddit. Instead of scratching it out, you should just write letters over it. And then that makes it impossible to read because it's on the internet. I want to point out, I'm sure you saw it, the address label has Ziggy on it.
Yeah.
So that's good.
He knows us.
The envelope is upside down.
We both kickstarted the Ziggy movie. Yeah. So it's fine.
You know what you're doing. Take off every Zig. The envelope is upside down. It's sealed. Nicole was not happy because her name is spelled in probably like to her the most offensive way to spell Nicole, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. is Nicole. Nick Hole.
Which is just N-word Nance. She hates when people do that.
This is also made out to Tapo's Studios. So we've gotten a lot of drunk dials before, but this might be our first drunk letter. Let me open it up. Get some of that good envelope noise.
Some of that good anthrax.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I've been carrying this around in my jacket pocket since Friday. And it's like every now, like on my way here, there were a lot of accidents because it snowed here today. And so I'd see the police siren, like I'd see the sirens and be like, oh man, I hope it's not like drugs in my envelope. So, all right, here we go. This is what we got. I'm going to like go through here. Like there's nothing at the beginning that says, do not read this on the air. I'll check the bottom. No, I also don't see anything about that. So here we go. Obligatory motherfucking tadpog. Since I have been listening to all the episodes, I decided to come up with some achievements based on the show. Since these are way too long to send in a text, I decided to send it in the old fashioned way via snail mail. Thank you for that. Anyway, here are a few I came up with. And I know he means Nicole, but I'm going to go ahead and say Nicole just to bother Nicole.
Nichole.
Nicole's no longer aching box. That achievement is unlocked by send Tadpog something in the mail. What's our P.O. box?
We know that's actually impossible. It's constantly aching. Yeah. You can't quench it.
But you can try if you want to send things to P.O. box.
Many have tried. So many have tried and failed.
Josh has come the closest, and that explains why they're together. If you want to unlock that achievement, send us something at P.O. Box 3785, Paducah, Kentucky, 42002. Apparently, it does not matter who you send it to, but it does have to be care of Nicole Nance. Let's see. Next achievement, NSFW, what's that? And in order to unlock that, you listen to Tadpog at work. I do that because I just love hearing our voices. I can't climax unless we're talking. The next achievement.
You too.
The next achievement is eventually, in order to unlock that, you suggest a game. If someone wants to do that, the best place to do that is on iTunes and a 5-star review. Mm-hmm. the next achievement, banging titties. When I like that, you listen to all Terran episodes. Hashtag more Miller. Listen to every Sean/Sean Miller episodes. He gave us two different spellings just to cover his bases. I don't think either of them are the correct spelling.
S-H-A-W-N?
Oh, no, he got it. He nailed it. Let's see. He knows Miller better than I do, for the record. Next achievement, big in Japan. In order to unlock that, listen to every Cockmaster Ashley Shake episode. Next achievement, two wolves enter, one man leaves. In order to unlock that, listen to all Jacob York episodes. Next up, man, this is where the show starts to get surreal for me. When it's like someone that I don't know is referencing our friends that we've known for a very long time. Because like the next one is like, I never like expected someone that I don't know what they look like to send me something about Josh Voice. Which is the next achievement. Listen to every Josh Nance episode. Oh, I love this. This gives me warm feelings. Next achievement, Dagwoods are delicious. Listen to all Sandwich Lord Phil episodes. You've been demoted.
Demoted, yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, Phil. Next achievement is Burger Time. Listen to all John Turley episodes. Next achievement, we have 4 pages of these, by the way. Next achievement, sucks either way. In order to unlock that, play along with Would You Rather. next achievement, you'll like this one, Tyler, Orochimaru of Time. You unlock that by getting all the Naruto references. next achievement is It's Worth That Much. In order to unlock that, you play along with how many is that game worth on? How much is that game worth on Amazon? Next achievement is kept the gun out of Dave's mouth, an achievement which, by the way, my wife adores. She loves it. That's her favorite part of this show is when it's mentioned that I might have a gun in my mouth.
She just loves my survival. She works at it every day. You don't make it easy. You like that game where the kid is trying to kill himself, and it's your job to stop him.
What, that's a game?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Now, why have we not played that?
It's a baby who is constantly crawling around the house trying to, like, grab things and kill itself, and you're the babysitter trying to stop it.
Is that an Adult Swim game, or is I'm thinking feel something like, else?
I think it is.
Okay. The next achievement is, oh, I'm sorry, to unlock the kept the gun out of Dave's mouth, you need to leave a 5-star iTunes review, which we need you to do that if you haven't done that yet. Next achievement is Rule 63. In order to unlock that, you listen to all the Manpog episodes. We've got Party Line, listen to all the All Call shows. And I love this one. This is a deep cut. Turd on the floor.
Wow.
Yeah, we haven't had a good turd on the floor reference in a long time. In order to unlock that achievement, you need to like Tadpog on Facebook because that's where all the turd photos show up. I was about to say,
you find that picture and like it.
You know, I've been creating new albums like for things that people send us. We just need to have a turd album on the Tadpog page, I think.
That'll be because I'm discussing making a Tadpog Instagram. So then we'll make just an independent Tadpog Turds Instagram.
Tadpog _turds. Tadpog less than 3 turds.
And it's a game trying to tag whoever turd you think it is. Just based on context clues over everyone's diets.
Wow, this one's nutty. Must be a Dave. Let's see. Here's a good achievement of blank fame. Be a guest host on the show.
That's a hard one.
That is a hard one. Next achievement is...
Well, I guess it's not very hard. Just kick it on Patreon.
Next achievement is Need for Speed. Listen to all of Ryan's episodes.
It's good. It's good.
There are those that call me. In order to unlock, there are those that call me. Tyler, you need to gain a title in the Tadpog fiefdom. Next achievement, you can't spell ignorant slut without listen to all IGN's top 100 SNES game episodes. next achievement is Motion by Shrewberry. Shrubbery? Shrewberry?
Shrewberry.
Shrewberry?
We require you to bring us a Shrewberry.
Shrewberry.
A what now?
I'd like to point out that...
knights who say nine. We knights of nine need a Shrewberry.
In order to unlock Motion by Shrewberry, you need to download the show's theme Moves by Sycamore Drive. We should have done this at the end of the show because it's hitting all of the points that we say at the end. Holy shit. Here's a good one. Longer than Song of Fire and Ice. Listen to every episode.
We're so much longer than a Song of Ice and Fire.
Next achievement, Dark Dickinson. Listen to all Nicole episodes.
Mm.
And finally, not really that cumbersome. Tweet at Tadpog_podcast on Twitter. I like these. These are good.
Really good.
These are all like super Tadpog promotional achievements. I like that. Keep up the good work, and until next time, Tropical Capricorn, Jack of Moons, Michael H.
Nice.
A.K.A. Jack of Ziggy.
Jack. That's better.
All right. Thank you very much for that. And thank you, honestly, for getting me out of an intro, because I do love doing whatever possible to not tell an intro story, because I'm out of them. I don't know if you noticed. I am out of them.
We're just going to play chess in real time next time we record.
Knight takes rook.
Oh, we can't say it out loud. They just hear the click, click.
Oh, the ASMR chess, chess game.
Hmm. All right, so you ready to actually talk about this game?
Yeah.
Do this?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
Dave, do you hear that?
I do hear that. It's the vulva engine?
The vulva.
I don't know. I'll let you handle all that. I got a boy. I don't have to deal with that, so.
I remember it being really weird when I was little and had my penis checked by my doctor.
Yeah.
I remember being super awkward because I got hard. I remember standing because I'm like six laying with my pants on a table, little boner while my doctor just kind of squeezes it, checking it out. My mom's in the room. It's a really weird moment in my brain.
The weirdest part was when he's like, nice cock, bro.
How's my son's dick, doctor? Well, so far his cock is fine, but... it crooks slightly to the left. I worry it might enhance as he ages.
We might need to put a stent in it.
I'm going to go ahead and duct tape a popsicle stick to it so it'll grow straight.
Ma'am, your payment today will be one Shrewberry.
Do you take a Garmfield? We do, ma'am. This rabbit hole is very deep.
Yes, I do hear that. I do hear that flapping vulva, which of course leads us into a segment that we like to call Dave reads from Wikipedia. Wow,
that's fun. Wow, we both just ate a gallon of mashed potatoes before we recorded.
I think we're setting a record for number of flubs before we even start talking about a game. I remember a time when these all would have been edited out.
And God,
the whole episode would have sounded like very disjointed, and then we'd say things. Here's a little thing about that. What's really weird is now when I listen to podcasts, like, for example, I'm not picking on Jack and Ryan on the Cracked podcast, but I can tell the hard edits where it's like, he recorded that a second time and fixed it post. We don't give a fuck here on Tadpog.
Because if you listen to Taryn and Banjo, there are a lot of extraordinarily hard cuts.
Well, that was a throwback to the beginning of Tadpog when I would meticulously edit one episode for 5 hours.
So I remember there's a lot of comments about the hard edits in King of Fighters. Because, like, Zach was so drunk and so belligerent. Yeah. Like, we put Zach and Jacob together. Drunk Zach just said, like, shit, we just had to take out.
Yeah, I feel like we'd be a little more less sensory now.
Yeah.
Because it's Zach.
We don't mind just none with that cross. It's fine.
We figured that at that point, like, we hadn't pissed everybody off yet. But now we have. Like, I feel like the people that we are listening to us right now, those are our people.
It's true.
So, yeah, we can just do whatever we want now. Okay, guys. Sky Blazer, released in Japan. I haven't done this one in a bit. As Kararu, I think that's how you pronounce it, is a platform video game published.
That's just it?
Kararu. How would you say
that? I don't know. I just thought.
It's K-A-R-U-R-A-O-U.
Kururu.
No, it starts with an A. It's K-A, not K-U. But K-Karuo?
Karuo.
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 It's a platform. You just unlocked an achievement.
Otherwise, in Japan, it's Kawawa.
In Japan, it's the sound of two koala bears making sweet love on Valentine's Day.
Koala.
It's a platform video game published by Sony ImageSoft, released in early 1994 for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. It involves Sky, the Sky Blazer hero. Interesting. In the Japanese version, his name is Garuda. That has a Final Fantasy thing to it.
But while I'm thinking about it, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
That I want to do a round of applause for Bill Picara, who messaged us that he is now, as of last week, starting at like Tadpog episode one and listening all the way through.
He's going for the achievement.
That is a fucking endeavor.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to make it. He'll make it. Unless we piss him off.
Probably by the time. Yeah, it's true. He might get like episode. He gets to Shaq Fu. He's like, nope. But he. By the time he's done, he has to. We'll at least be on 300 by the time he's done. So can you imagine like hardlining 300 episodes of Tadpog?
No, I can't.
That's
I cannot
crazy.
Do that.
It's crazy.
And you know, I really like that we're leaving him a message from the future, from his future.
When he gets here, yeah, when exactly. he finally gets here. That's why I told him like eventually we get a voicemail box. Go ahead and call in now with your predictions for what's going to happen. And then when you get there, it's going to be great.
God, I hope he does that. Sky, the Sky Blazer hero, is searching for Ashura. Is that how you pronounce it?
Ashura, yeah.
Ashura, who is the Lord of War, who had kidnapped the sorceress Ariana Grande.
Checks out.
In the Japanese version, that is Vishnu.
Okay.
So, interesting.
That's a pretty good American parallel. Ariana Grande to Vishnu.
Yeah.
That's about how we
look at things. Yeah. Vishnu had that whole thing with licking the donut. Yeah, we all know.
This game, I only know it because sort of late in my rental days, because I talked about Movie Hut being minutes away. My parents hated going there, loathed it. They didn't mind going to Piggly Wiggly. You know, it's about 5 minutes closer, maybe.
It has pig in the name.
Yeah, exclusively.
One has hut, one has pig.
Pork and games, it's fine. But for a short time, across from Piggly Wiggly, there's this strange building that has been so many different things. It has like two like sort of domes on top of it, and it's a very long building. I know it's been somebody's house at some point.
Yeah,
I know it was also a tanning salon, and for a short time it was a video game rental place.
Across from Piggly Wiggly?
Across from Piggly Wiggly.
Right now, what is it now? It's like a house, right?
It looks abandoned to me now.
Oh, okay.
I guess more specifically, it's across from Dollar General.
We should keep our video games in there.
just kick in the door and just leave our stuff there. It's like Fallout. It's fine. No, we just leave it here. But when that opened up, I was so excited because they did not mind taking me there at all. It's just as close. Variety was much larger. But sad thing is, you know, it was not open very long. But that's where, remember one time I rented Soul Blazer. Went home, played it, loved it, had to take it back. A month later, I went and rented it again, went back. Couldn't remember exactly which one it was. Picked up this game accidentally.
I don't know how you would do that.
Had Blazer in it.
I don't know. And it started with an S.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's a point. That's a point in my notes.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
Why the fuck did they name this game Sky Blazer? But I'm sorry. Please continue.
But I went, I remember I played it. I was like, oh, this is not, fuck. And I was like angry and I started playing it for a little while. And then I was like, oh, okay. I like this. All right. And I played it and I ended up running this by itself a few times. I don't know why. I never really heard it talked about very much. Spoilers now, I guess, sort of, we're talking about
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah, we're in
this 100% should have been on IGN's Top 100.
Yeah, absolutely.
No fucking question this should have been on there.
Where would you put it? Because I've thought about this.
I would put it at least in the 50s.
I would put it right by Aladdin. I think this game deserves to be right with Aladdin on the top 100 Super Nintendo games. The fact that this game is not on the list is a fucking crime.
It doesn't, like, it's so much better than so much of the shit that's on that list.
Yes, it is. And it's like, this is one of those games where I'm really glad you mentioned this because I had A, never fucking heard of it, and B, I never would have played it if it weren't for you and if it weren't for Tadpog. Yeah. Like, I really enjoyed this game.
Yeah,
and
it's solid in like every fucking way.
I took my time with it. I enjoyed it. It's not very long, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed every minute of it.
Because it's just when I was playing through it again, it's just like, man, this is so much better than just like, I remember the same kind of game on the list and just being like, God, this is not fucking compared to it. They had to have just like taken the people that made the list and they just shouted off names of games on top of their head. And this one was just, I don't know why no one's heard of it. I guess maybe it just wasn't marketed well. I don't know. But clearly just no one had heard of it. They didn't research games and find new games for this list, clearly. They had to have just, whatever we've played, let's just write it down. Because there's no way, there's no way they did enough research to play a lot. All of the Super Nintendo games, were not on the table in making the top 100 list. Because it's unacceptable. And I hate using that word, but it's unacceptable that this isn't on the list.
Oh, no, I agree with you. And it actually was received well when it came out originally. Like, I know GamePro liked it. Electronic Gaming Monthly liked it. They gave it a 7.8 out of 10. I would have given it a little higher, I think.
Yeah, that's too harsh.
But, I mean, for them, I kind of always felt like if anyone was taking money for scores, it was probably them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is interesting because I know, like, the team that worked on Sky Blazer, they were instrumental in PlayStation development. Mm-hmm. Because this is when Sony ImageSoft was developing games for the Super Nintendo, like Hook, which this game kind of reminded me of Hook in
parts.
It's
like if they fix all my problems with Hook.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not as dynamic as Hook. And I think what I liked about Hook is that in the middle of a level, as Peter, you could start flying. Mm-hmm. Like, you just needed the fairy dust, right? And in this game, there are flying segments, but they're very much like, okay, well, this is a ground level, and the next level is a flying level.
And you don't know why that you can do it in some levels and why you can't. There's not really a good explanation.
No, there really is none. Other than in the very beginning when you're talking to Old Man, he resurrects you because you are destroyed by Ashura.
Mm-hmm.
And he grabs Ariana Grande. And am I saying her name right? I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And he like flies into space, leaving you a crumpled sorcerer man.
Mm-hmm.
And Old Man revives you. And then that's where you learn that your character, Sky, comes from a long line of sky sorcerers. Is that right?
Blazers?
Yeah.
Blazers. A long line of potheads. You're all blazers.
Oh, yeah. 420 all day, every day. bumping the leaf.
Bumping rails, leaves.
Okay. I understand why you picked this game up, mm-hmm. thinking that it was either Soul Blazer or had something to do with Soul Blazer, mm-hmm. because this game is named horribly. It does sound like it is Soul Blazer.
Yeah.
And like as a kid, even as an adult, having not played Soul Blazer or Sky Blazer, I would have been like, wait, which one? Which is which?
Yeah. You look at both of them side by side, be like, what year is this? 1994? God.
It's a horrible name. I think they could have, this game might have even been remembered if they named it something different.
Yeah.
Like Sky Sorcerer, like Sky Magician,
Sky Magician,
Sky Magician, the game,
Wonder Wizard. But yeah, you then go through level by level in this action platformer. I guess it's probably what it is exactly. Yeah. Controls well, color great, graphics I enjoy. I think all the music and the sound is all really well done.
Yeah, I was kind of on the fence.
Yeah.
The music I thought was kind of lacking in some places. Yeah. And like there's one level where I swear to God they're playing the 007 theme song in the background. Because like I was playing through it, I was like, da-na. I was like, what the fuck? What? And I was like, oh yeah, that's in the background music for whatever reason. I don't know. Like if maybe they had the rights for the song and they're like, let's just shoehorn this in to this underwater level. It'll be cool.
Because you go through, let's see, because it is, I guess it's, maybe it's vaguely Mega Man-ish as you're okay. doing the side-scrolling left to right.
Mm-hmm.
You've got punches and kicks,
mm-hmm.
and then you start out with some kind of spell that looks like Guile's Sonic Boom.
I've got that in my notes, exactly, mm-hmm. verbatim. Start off with Guile's Sonic Boom.
Because you've got your life meter and a magic meter,
mm-hmm.
and as you progress through the levels, every time you beat a boss, you then pick up a new spell that you can, you know, L and R switch between.
Right.
It's the controls in that way are great. There's no, I enjoyed that. They could have easily fucked that up.
Yeah. One suggestion that this is not my own thought, but I read it online, and after I read it, I was like, oh yeah, that would have been pretty cool. You may not have liked it. And it might not have worked out well in practice, but I think it would have been cool if instead of having to cycle through what power you use with L and R, if each one were an input command, like a special like move in Street
Blitzes
Fighter.
Or something?
Yeah, like Saban's okay. Blitzes. Because then I think all of a sudden you can do multiple ones quickly. It's kind of, the game is kind of limiting in the regard where it's like, well, if I want to use Guile's Sonic Boom and then heal myself immediately after, you're kind of in this awkward stage of, okay, Sonic Boom, R, oh, passed it, L.
Yeah. And then hit it. You're right. I didn't even think about that. That would have been good. And they could have pulled it off easily, especially if they got rid of the magic meter and then have that be the way you could have done it.
Yeah, I think the magic meter there probably does have a lot to do with why you have to select the one instead of doing it on the fly.
I mean, the magic's pretty powerful in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I think all of them are really cool, too.
Yeah.
I didn't use all of them. I mean, they were certainly my go-tos. I would try all of them, but like the lightning strike, for example, I rarely used, where you just call lightning down from the sky. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one where you just send out a burst of energy in like the cardinal directions.
That was, I found that to only be effective in the water temple boss.
Yes. Yeah, oh, man. Ooh, I want to talk to you about that. The water temple boss,
mm-hmm.
which, okay, so this game, I love all the bosses in this game, mm-hmm. because like that's my favorite part of Sky Blazer.
They do a good job of it.
They do a great job with it. I think it's a little hit or miss because there's like one boss, and you'll know the one I'm talking about. It's kind of like an elephant dragon in a helmet, like encapsulated
in a giant
centurion.
Elephant dragon bat.
Yeah. And like he'll land and then he'll unfurl his trunk and there's a dragon head on the end of it that fires apples
yeah.
that bite you. It's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, that is acid trip monster right there. Like, that has it written all over it.
Yeah, and it's armored, like, yeah.
It's like in a giant Centurion helmet, kind of like that pig enemy from Power Rangers.
Fuck, yeah. Who eats all their weapons and shit. Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but that's who he reminded me of. But other than that one particular boss, I thought they were all like really cool.
Mm-hmm.
The underwater boss that you're talking about is like these four clams, right? Mm-hmm. They're clamshells that are set up in the four corners of the room, and they all open simultaneously, and this little green orb floats out, and then it pops, and it's this tiny fish.
Mm-hmm.
And these tiny fish start zoning in on you, like mm-hmm. they're heat-seeking piranha. And then they all coalesce on you, and as they do, they start growing bigger and bigger. And you have, I had two options, fight them and die, or GTFO.
Yeah.
And
kite them, hope they get stuck.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly how I did it. I would kite them around until they would get stuck on a ledge and be like, I'm going to glitch the fuck out of this boss.
Because otherwise, I think that was the hardest boss of the game.
So you use the...
That's as far as I got as a kid.
Oh, really? Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yeah.
And there's... That's interesting, too, because, like, there are paths that you can choose, but they all kind of converge onto, like, end levels.
Yeah.
So how did you... I mean, what's the best way to beat the underwater boss? Then?
Yeah, I did the same thing you did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would use the... Wait till they all open up and use the star power until I was out of magic. And then that way they were all at least at half of their health. And then kite and drop down and hit.
Yeah.
Because there's a stream of water circling them.
Yeah, the current. Yeah. Which is weird because it makes you swim faster than fish, which is pretty, that's pretty epic. But to be fair, they were just born 2 seconds ago. So maybe they're just starting out.
I feel like that was the shittiest level. Otherwise, I mean, I think that's kind of just water stages of the Super Nintendo era. Like, no one likes them. They're generally just not good.
Well, it's frustrating, right? Because it is literally a maze.
Yeah.
And instead of
switches that have barely perceptible differences.
Right, exactly. It took me a while to notice, when I hit this switch, it changes the current of just a square of water.
Yeah.
Which seemed kind of weird. It's an interesting concept, but yeah, I agree. I think that was the most frustrating level.
Yeah, because what I like, you know, stage, beat a boss, acquire a new spell that can then help you go along. And it's not that they're super important. It's not like one boss is weak to whatever. They're just usually good gameplay things.
Yeah, and I liked that. Yeah. I loved that bosses weren't weak to particular spells because that, you know me, that's like a big kind of...
That's your problem with Mega Man.
Yeah, that I have that problem with Mega Man because it's like I wouldn't have that problem if there was a way to figure it out besides trial and error.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel a lot of Mega Man games are. It's just trial and error, or you use a guide, or you ask a friend, what order do I fight the bosses in? So I do not waste
Sometimes they make sense, but then like when they get up to sort of bosses in Mega Man, you don't know why. Why Snake Man or why Gemini Man is weak to snakes, or you know, it's some of the shit doesn't make as much sense.
You think it's a Zodiac thing?
Maybe. Or why Metal Man is weak to his own power. You know, okay.
You would think it would be like Mirror Man or something like that.
But the gameplay in this, because it is an action platformer, but they do a really good job of introducing new elements that make every stage feel and play unique.
Absolutely.
So like you're encountering something new, not just bland jump and punch. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how they start you off, but it's not long before they're incorporating new elements that require you to use spells like the charging burst spell that it kills everything in front of you, but you charge a good distance through in a straight line. And that power is very useful to get mostly to get places.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that's so useful platforming, especially when you're trying to jump on a ledge that has an enemy that's super annoying.
Yep.
You can just blast your way through it. Something else I thought was cool is when I was playing this game, I was like, holy shit. It's like the developer was like, wouldn't it be really cool if we developed a platforming game that is based around what it feels like to play a monk in D&D? Because it's like, you're like, you, you can punch projectiles out of the air. Like, you can't, like, do fireballs and stuff like that, but if, like, something physical is coming at you, mm-hmm. you can just fucking punch it. You just punch, just knock it the fuck out of the yeah. air. Like, you don't have to dodge it. Just knock that shit away.
You can do with spells or basically everything. Like, the fire temple, like, where those worms are shooting fireballs at you, then just use the sonic boom and it takes everything in a straight line away.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Mm-hmm. That's good. And even like the spells are all very elemental. This game is very elemental themed, mm-hmm. and that makes me think of,
because you're trying to acquire basically the power of the four elements so you can awaken the Phoenix spell that allow you to harm Ashra in the first place.
Yeah, and I think this is another stumbling for the game. I love the game, but I do think like some of the storytelling could have been better. Like, for example, when you first meet Ashra. He grabs Ariana Grande, like I said, mm-hmm. and he blasts the fuck out of you. Like, there's nothing you can do. It's one of those fights where it's like, hey, it's the beginning of Symphony of the Night, and you're gonna eat shit.
Yeah, I guess is this a tropey thing of just that era of unbeatable levels and just things that it forces you into do?
Yeah, I think it is, and so it's hard for me to fault it. But at the same time. I think they...
Even Chrono Trigger suffered from that.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of games suffered from that.
A lot of my early D&D games suffered from that before I realized, like, yeah, okay, this kind of sucks.
A lot of D&D game, like the Horde of the Dragon Queen, spoilers if you're running that right now. I mean, it happens very, very early, but there is something that's set up to teach players what death saves are, which is essentially a fight where someone's intended to not make it. So, I mean, that's still a thing that happens. And I think it's shitty because it's like, I feel like as a DM, you'd be like, okay, here are the rules of what happens if you are going to die.
Make things difficult. Make it where you have to think out of the box. Yeah. But just railroading someone into a situation. Yeah. It's like, no.
It sucks.
Spend your resources and shit, you know, but you can't win.
Right. But so anyway, when you first fight, I'll put that in air quotes, when you first fight Ashra, he should have had the shield that he has when you fight him at the end of the game, mm-hmm. because what you use the Phoenix spell for is to get rid of that shield, and then that makes him attackable. So it kind of feels like, well, they should have it in the beginning where he's unstoppable, because like that's the thing. Like, you have to get the Phoenix spell in order to get rid of the shield, mm-hmm. so you can fight him. So I felt like that was kind of a storytelling fault that I saw. But this isn't really a story game, so it's just a little thing that I think would have gone a long way.
I think Ashra is like the Japanese god of destruction.
God of war? He references himself as a god of war in the game, but I don't know, like, as far as like a mythological.
Maybe it's war, maybe it's destruction. It's something like that.
Because he's in some Final Fantasy games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's his own video game. So I just wonder if that shield is part of his mythology. I don't know whether it is or not, but...
Might be. I don't know. It would explain why it's there in the game.
I feel like all the bosses were pretty good and pretty inventive, except for like the dragon at this tower you have to climb.
Oh, yeah. The serpentine dragon?
Yeah, because it's just like it's like a Final Fantasy Tactics summon of a dragon that just like goes straight up in the air.
It comes up from the bottom of the screen.
Yep.
He's holding a dragon ball.
Yeah. he doesn't move or anything. Like, he goes up, you kick his dragon ball, and he stops, and he spits fire at you.
Uh-huh.
But if you hit the ball and then quickly jump to the other side of the tower.
You did the same thing as me. You come up behind him and just beat the fuck out of him.
Yep.
Easiest boss next to the dragon elephant. Because that dragon elephant was the same way. He would just kind of jump, and when his trunk would come out, you just punch that head.
You don't even have to hit the trunk. You hit him from behind. You hit his butt. So.
What was your favorite boss?
I enjoyed what I thought was him. It reminded me of Mario a little bit. Sort of the round boss with the spikes that every round he made around the room would make him larger and larger.
He would stick to the walls.
Yeah.
Yeah, in this very small room.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
He looked like an armored eyeball.
Yeah, because he opened up his eye, throw like fire at you. So it was like you could jump over him for a little while, uh-huh. and then you had to climb the wall and jump over him. And then like he got so large. But then it became so large you could duck in the corner and he would just go over you.
But there's this in-between phase that I noticed where I could never avoid him.
Yeah.
Because it's like this stage in between where I couldn't jump over him because he was too big, but he was also small enough that I couldn't just duck in the corner and not get hit.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention that you can climb walls in this game.
Oh, that's actually a big mechanic.
That's a huge mechanic. Yeah. And it's instrumental in that boss fight, of course, but it's also super important to get through the game. And there are a few vertical
because you very levels. Ninja Gaiden style way, like cling to walls and mm-hmm. climb and descend. And
yeah, it feels like you're Spider-Man essentially. Mm-hmm. And this is how web crawling should have gone for Spider-Man and a lot of Spider-Man games mm-hmm. that are awful that we need to play for the show sometime.
Spider-Man X-Men Arcade's Revenge.
Oh, it's so bad.
So bad.
It's so bad.
So ridiculous and so bad. No, Wolverine in a giant circus with a Juggernaut? No, it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. No, no big deal.
Storm trapped in a sewer? No, it's fine.
Well, she can't see the sky, so she can't call lightning.
Oh, she generates it sometimes from her own body. I remember like reading a big thing about that. Like, no one like, does it come from her own energy? So I remember a game theory like computed like how many calories she would have to consume in food if she were to like generate her own electricity as opposed to calling it. And it's just like it's insane. The amount of, like, if she's producing her own power.
Yeah.
So, but then, of course, like, all mutants basically break the laws of physics.
Absolutely.
Like, I can understand if Wolverine's regeneration required him to eat and get mass and that regenerate, uh-huh. but he can regenerate from nothing. Like, where is he mm-hmm. getting this mass from?
He's a mutant, Tyler. Tyler, I don't know if you understand this or not, but he is a mutant.
It's in your genes.
Yeah, it's science, Tyler. It's science.
I mean, I don't know, Cyclops, I mean, that makes sense. He's at access to the Punch Universe. That's fine. You're I get
exactly.
that.
I really liked the first boss, who is a genie. Yeah. And he fires balls of plasma at you from his hand. But you can't harm him because he's ethereal.
Yep.
However, his lamp.
Jafar style.
Yes. However, his lamp.
You destroyed Jafar's lamp. Destroy Jafar.
Is an animated object which runs around and you destroy the lamp.
That's a good idea for a D&D boss. A genie with an animated lamp that runs and
I went there too. Yeah. I went there too.
Has its own class levels. It's a badass.
And the genie itself, not so
kind
much.
Kind of shitty.
The genie.
It's trying to tell you how to kill it so you can set it free.
Oh, how about this? How about somehow the, okay, so the lamp is animated and gains sentience somehow. And then found the genie, trapped him, and uses the genie to grant him wishes.
Mm.
now you got a campaign boss.
Now you got a big villain.
I also liked the...
Yeah, that's like a fucked up version of like the teacup from Beauty and the Beast. Like if it acquired power.
I believe you're talking of Chip.
How can we make Chip like chaotic, evil, and powerful? Well.
More importantly, how can we fail a Darkwing Duck quiz that Phil gave us, but we can both simultaneously say Chip. And it's because we watched it together for Valentine's Day. You're welcome, Internet. It's our Valentine's Day ritual.
Oh, who was the actress that played Chip's mother, the tea kettle? Angela Lansbury.
Yes!
Because we had our annual Valentine's Angela Lansbury Film Festival.
Has she been in the movies other than that?
I'm sure.
Or did we just binged Murder, She Wrote,
and then Beauty and the Beast. She was in a highly praised theatrical production of
Music Man.
Nope, it's the guy, the barber who kills people and makes meat pies.
The barber.
We did this last time too. Last time I tried to reference this fucking show.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the name.
The Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
oh man, we're like a lot of people are frustrated right now.
Rescue me, Google.
Andy from The Office was in a theatrical production of it, okay. But I cannot remember the name of it.
So I'm just going to Google Sweeney Todd.
Johnny Depp. Okay, Sweeney Todd.
I know. And one of the, like,
you know, they should have picked a more memorable name.
I mean, we all love Julia Sweeney, but still. I mean, everybody loves Pat. I mean, you think...
That's the sequel to Sweeney Todd, Pat Todd.
Sweeney Todd's great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter, Julia Sweeney. plays an androgynous character.
It's a Dexter spinoff. He trains her.
I don't know, Dexter. And Dexter's inner monologue about trying to figure out whether Pat's a boy or a girl.
My dark passenger says that Pat's a boy.
Until he finally just like drugs her with the needle and just like pulls out her pants.
There's a vulva. Found it.
Oh, fuck.
Tyler, I also like the boss. The ice level.
Man, that was a weird
That was a long one, too. We went down a lot of little tunnels. Hope we brought our lanterns into the cavern of tangents. There's a big wall with a face in it.
Uh-huh.
That spins.
That was a cool boss, yeah.
And it will one-shot kill you if you don't jump into the cutout portion of the wall as it spins. Mm-hmm. It'll crush you.
And it gets faster and faster as the boss wears down.
And then when it's a big face. It's got two big eyes and a nose and a mouth. And as you...
You've actually accurately described faces.
That's a face. Tyler, I'm pretty good at faces. I don't know if you know this about me. I'm pretty good at faces.
You don't have the disease where you're face blind.
No. It's important that I explain the features of the face because as you beat the boss up, his eyes explode into gaping vaginas.
Yep.
That's exactly what they look. As I was playing it, I was like, I do not know how this did not get censored because I have seen this before in video form on the internet. That is a gaping vagina.
It speaks to your lovemaking prowess that... Like, it looks like that's a beaten down vagina. If you were like, vagina. So your handiwork just must fucking tear through vagina.
No, it speaks poorly of it because I said I saw it on the internet.
It speaks of the porn you watch.
Yeah. So I was like, it's supposed to look like that?
Yeah, exclusively Max Hardcore. Like, the last 20 minutes of every Max Hardcore video.
Not the beginning. Just send me the end, please.
I like all the after shots. I don't want the before.
It's too soul crushing if you see all of it.
God, we haven't made a Max Hardcore reference in a while.
I know.
God, so awful. I'm glad he's in jail for torture.
Is he? Is that for real? Yeah. Is he really in jail for torture?
He was charged under torture, yeah.
They didn't just give him a job at Guantanamo? Listen, we got a whole bunch of terrorists. We're going to need you to fuck and then torture.
God, just Max Hardcore with this fucking cowboy hat.
Wake up, boys. I'd like you to meet John Wayne.
God, Guantanamo, like, crime mascara running on their faces. Because, God, what's that E-Fuck video we watched where, like, one of the girls is absolutely, like...
Oh, yeah.
She had to bust out of Arkham Asylum straight to set.
And I love, like, this is, like, the weirdest thing is, like...
I hate hippies! Like, he's fucking... You're like, what the fuck is she saying?
The weirdest thing is to see him be uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'm not a whore. I just hate hippies. Yeah, that video's got to be in the show notes somewhere.
If I can find it. E-Fuck gets hacked like every other week, so it might not be That's there true. Anymore. Are there any other bosses that you like, Tyler?
E-Fuck has got to be... No, we're going to go down this road all further. E-Fuck has got to be run by like Fleetwood Mac because of like, from what I read, it's just constant...
What?
It's constant infighting and backstabbing that makes all the hacking. So they'll get mad at each other and lead each other shit.
So. I don't think anyone at Fleetwood Mac is alive or knows how to use a computer.
No, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks that run E-Fucked. And then just like after they made Rumors, they made E-Fucked and they constantly fuck each other.
I get it.
I rolled a 20 on my musical knowledge.
You had a music reference that you had to make, so I get it.
Thank you, A Saturday Night Live. Oh, and the crackpot. And no, unpopular opinion. And unpopular opinion. So what are the bosses?
So E-Fuck. Let's talk about E-Fuck, motherfucker. Let's see. We got some titties in here. Just slapping them and shit. Dave Matthews Band. I'm out.
Oh, What other bosses were? What are on my notes? What do I have on here? Mode 7, because between as you travel from continent to continent, you'll get, of course, the obligatory Mode 7 thing where you're flying, view from behind, gathering all these gems. It's basically a one-up fest.
Sonic 2, bonus stage.
Yeah, it's
essentially what it is. In the sky. Like that. You grab the diamonds.
The side-scrolling levels where you're flying. You can't use any spells, but your unlimited flying and your punches are mini fireballs.
They were okay.
Those levels, I mean, I think those were the levels I enjoyed the least. I mean, it was cool to fly, but like having all your spells and shit like that was just a lot more fun.
They're short, and those weren't the best. And they felt like they were designed for running. They didn't feel like they were designed for flying.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think the pacing was really well done, because like the challenge builds and it gets very difficult.
Yeah.
But the enemies are usually pretty giving with health and magic potions.
Yep.
And then you can get revived. You have your passwords, and if it continues, basically, well, you start over at the beginning of every stage. But if you die every screen, you will start over at your most recent screen at the beginning.
Uh huh.
So very challenging, but they compensate for how challenging it is.
What did you think about the Ashura fight?
It was confusing at first because it's like knock the shield out of his hand. All right, turn to Phoenix. All right, tear him up. Okay, all my magic's gone.
Yes.
Okay, what do I do now? And then, like, it's essential, because then I realized, like, oh, okay, I can deflect the fireball he's throwing at me.
Yeah.
So then once you can plow through those.
The biting fireballs.
Yeah. Then you can get close enough. Once he does that, then you can, like, land, like, a head kick and then run off. And
you can do combos, too.
War of attrition, kind of.
Because, like, you can do, if you hit the attack button three times, you do, like, a three-hit combo.
Okay.
I tried fighting him so many times and could not figure it out. And I figured out the Phoenix thing, and then it was just like, okay, I guess he's just invincible. He looks like Akuma, by the way. He looks like Dark Akuma slammed a Monster energy drink and then fucked a gargoyle. Like, that's what he looks like. I went to YouTube. I was like, I had to watch the fight. And then when I did, I was like, oh, okay, it's actually a super easy fight. You just play defensive.
Yeah.
It's like he will fly towards you eventually, and when he does, punch him three times and then get away.
Yeah.
And then repeat that and you're good.
I did not expect there to be a fight after him.
Me neither.
Completely surprised me.
Which it should not have surprised either of us, because the very beginning of the game, like there's someone speaking who said, what's the name of him? Raglan or something like that. The Lord of Darkness.
Raglan.
And then it's like, okay, I'll just forget about this guy for the rest of the game until he shows up at the end.
It's like Final Fantasy V, whenever you just hear about this horrible dark wizard, this master of all things dying and necromancy, and then, who are you? I am Death X. Who is this dark wizard who's controlling everyone? Raglan. It's the 90s. We don't care. I'd prefer to have been named like Charles. That would have been fine.
Charles would have been good.
Charles Wizard.
Then I could have done a Charles in Charge achievement.
Charles McFire Wizard. Charles Ard.
It was a cool fight, at least.
Yeah, because you got that one fist coming out of his chest that you have to jump on, like his bracelets to get to his face, avoiding the...
It's cooler than it sounds.
The gem laser. Yeah, listen to how painfully 90s this is. So, yeah. You have to jump on his giant lava arm to avoid his head gem laser.
It's cool, though, we promise.
That was kind of a fight where that heal spell was essential.
Yes. Did you do the thing, because this fight took me forever, too. Did you do the thing where, like, because I kept trying to jump over the laser, which is fucking impossible.
Yeah.
Because by the time you jump so fast that, and the laser is so long that by the time you land, the laser is still there and you hit it. However, if you use the healing spell in midair, the arc of your jump, it freezes you for like a split second long enough to where you can avoid the laser.
Yep.
I abused the hell out of that.
So you said you had to just sort of take it until you got low enough in health to justify using the healing spell,
right,
and then to get a freebie and go in. Like, You have just enough magic and health points to make it to the end with maybe like one hit left in order to kill him.
I tried using the Warrior Force on him, which is the spell that makes you invincible. Mm-hmm. And I just assume, you turn gold. Yep. And I guess that's where they got the idea for the box art, which is ridiculous. Does not look Japanese at all, which I think it should. Like, this game should look Japanese on the outside.
He looks more like, what, Booster Gold making a Jesus pose?
And then you've got these weird, like, Egyptian piano warlocks that are just hanging out on the side. It's like, I don't remember those guys.
Oh, yeah, Egyptian piano warlock. Yeah. Just like sullen dwarf Yeti that are all over the ice castle, just kind of frumping around.
Place. What's up with that?
Looks like they're just mad that they can't, like, got so much to do today and I gotta do this. So, like, you jump over them and they'll just grump, kind of grump side to side.
Let's see. Is there anything else? You got anything else?
I don't have anything else.
Oh, I've got a question for you. This is super important.
Okay.
How did you feel about the disappearing Mega Man blocks when you were climbing the tower?
Fuck. I mean, luckily, most of the time, I'd always land on a different one.
Yeah.
You know, below. I could maneuver myself to land on a solid one.
Yeah.
And just climb the fucking tower.
Man, I had to do it so fucking fast. Like, it was...
Yeah, you do have to climb. You have to climb the tower really fast.
Really fast. Because it was like, I felt like that segment was more difficult than at least three of the bosses in the game.
And then, like, the other platforms that, like, the spikes come out, like, you have, like, a two count before the spikes shoot out of it.
They're, like, levitating thwomps, essentially, that you have to ride as elevators.
And then, like, this, the sand stage level where you're jumping on platforms and then spikes come out of the sides of some of the platforms and try to go across.
Yeah.
Because there are levels you can tell that, like, oh, there's a pretty easy to get one up that perpetually respawns. So, you know, like, okay, this stage, they knew this is fucking hard. Yeah, right? So.
Yeah, there's a few stages like that where you can go, like, into a secret area on a level, and there'll be a one-up, you grab it, leave, come back, and it's there again. Yeah, yeah, just rotate through.
You just have to do that.
I did that, too. Yep.
Do you have any achievements?
I do. I do have achievements, Tyler. My first achievement... Tyler, are you familiar with the Dragon Hill Forest in this game?
I'm sure I am, but I don't remember all of the names.
It's a cool level. It's a forest, and there are enemies in the trees that you can kind of see.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and you can jump in the trees and kind of like, not like in a platforming style, climb the tree, but it's like you're in the tree.
Sort of like quicksand, right, where you're kind of slowly falling through.
Yeah, and then you can jump to put yourself forward. So in this level, there are some plant monsters. And this is very important, my first achievement, which is Blaze It! And in order to unlock Blaze It, you got to kill 420 weed monsters in Dragon Hill Forest. my second achievement is called Run the Jewels. And in order to unlock Run the Jewels, in a bonus stage where you're flying from one continent to another, you need to earn at least two extra lives, easy to do, and also not hit any of the sky mines that are set before you, which I never made it.
You hit one, it's like a bug hitting a windshield.
Yeah,
like,
you're done. The bonus stage is over, and you're magically on the other continent. I could, like, even like when the first one showed up, it would just be like, slam, all right, we're done. Do you have any achievements?
I've got two. The first one is Christina Aguilera, and you unlock that by defeating the genie in the bottle.
Okay. All right. I like it.
And the other is Vegeta, Prince of Saiyans, and you beat a boss while using the invincibility spell.
Okay. I'm glad you said Vegeta, because this game, I didn't watch much Dragon Ball Z, so I'm not really able to speak to this, but when I was playing it, it reminded me of the little bit of Dragon Ball Z that I've seen.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
Because, like, even when you use that, like, healing spell and, like, you kind of levitate in the air for that split second and then, like, energy kind of, like, wraps around you. And, like, all the animations in the game I think are beautiful. Like, the sprite animations are amazing and they're super, super detailed because, like, when you use the Phoenix, Sky, like, swipes his arms forward like a cat would, like, climb a tree or something. Mm-hmm. And as he does it, he kind of, like, flames appear and they wrap around him and it transforms him into the Phoenix. I mean, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
When he dies, he kind of like leaps into the air at like a 45 degree angle and like just spins until he implodes, and then all of his life force blows out. Really cool, like really, really, yeah. really well done.
The jump animation after a second is a little weird because you do like whenever Peter Pan flies in Hook, where his
puts his arms behind him,
like you can just jump and take like a second jump, and he does that maneuver until he falls down and hits something.
That's another problem I had with the game. I'm glad you mentioned that. Is I wish that there were more directional attacks, because when you attack, it's just side to side. Mm-hmm. You can't like punch upwards. You can't punch down. Like if you jump up, don't land on an enemy, because there's no way that you can like kick down or anything like that.
Yeah.
I wish there was a little bit of like Hagane kind of stuff in there where you could take care of more enemies. But to be fair, I think this game was much more about the platforming and in the boss fights and less about taking care of enemies on the levels.
Yeah, so I mean, I can't recommend highly enough that people check this game out. It's worth it. It's a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I have a few questions for you. The first of which is, if you were to give this game a pair of beards, if you were to give this game a pair of beards, you have to pick two.
Two beards. Okay.
Gemini beards. What kind of beards would you give it?
Let's see. So the game series Suikoden.
Yes.
Each one has 107, 105. It's been such a long time. A lot of fucking characters to recruit. And inevitable in your party of six, are going to be a lot of characters you don't get to. And some are very, very good, and you wouldn't expect them to be. So every Suikoden has hidden gems in its party.
Hidden Geminis.
Hidden Geminis. Like my dad, it's Gemini. It's fine.
I learned something about Randy today. Yep.
And so for this one, I have to give it the mustache of Leon Silverberg.
Leon Silverberg.
Leon Silverberg. He is a character who is probably the most easily missed in Suikoden 1 that you can recruit onto your team. He is your strategist's brother, so he is a secondary strategist for you, so he has a very good ability to use in combat. So he's very, very good, very easy to miss, and fuck up your entire game.
I was expecting you to say he is the only Jewish character in the game.
Well, I assume all the Silverbergs are. They're a whole line throughout Suikoden.
There are multiple Silverbergs?
Yeah. Like, you find, like, they're all the whole family line is known for being, like, incredibly intelligent and amazing strategists. So
they're known for controlling Hollywood.
Yeah. So if you don't recruit a bloodline Silverberg, you will recruit somebody who was trained by a Silverberg
in, interesting.
Like, basically every Suikoden.
Interesting. That's cool. I like that.
And then in Suikoden 2, Leon Silverberg is leading the forces of your enemy, so that you're up against the Silverberg.
Okay, cool.
So,
it just seems out of place to me in a game called Suikoden, which is it sounds extremely Japanese.
You never heard of those Japanese Jews?
No, I haven't. Please tell me more.
Jews for Jesus and Jews for Japan. And they're all.
That's a good mustache.
Thank you.
But it's a grand mustache though.
Yeah, he has a Randy Holland mustache.
Okay. So it's so good he doesn't need a beard. Is that what you're saying?
It doesn't even need a mouth.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a glasses, what kind of glasses would you give it?
There is an elven village in Suikoden 1 where you have to have a lot of recruits to talk to this guy.
Uh-huh.
But it's just in this one, the back of one inn in this elven village, you see this, he looks like a wrestler.
I remember this guy.
He's enormous, and he has this cat, like this cheetah headdress on. His name is Fusu Lu. And it turns out that guy is the physically strongest character in the entire game. So it's just kind of weird for this cat headdress guy just sitting out of place in an elven village to be the physically strongest character in the game. And he has that headdress on. So I give it Fusu Lu's cheetah headdress. You see through the little cat eyes.
I get it. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it works. Yeah. You've used windshields on this before. You're open.
And camera lenses that lie.
Yeah,
you see,
no, it's cool. It's fine. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I got another question for you.
Mm.
I want to know, how much is this game on Amazon. If you were to buy it right now on Amazon, used, how much do you think you'd pay for it?
I feel like some few people have heard of it. There can't be a ton of copies in circulation. So I want to say something like $35.
Tyler, respectable guess. Actual retail value, Skyblazer, parentheses, blaze it, used on the Super Nintendo on Amazon at the time of this recording is $49.99. I'm gonna say that this game is worth that. I know that sounds crazy, but it's a fun game that if you were to buy it, it's a fun game that you're probably going to enjoy if you enjoy these kinds of games, which I think that most people who gamed in the 90s enjoy this type of game. And I also feel like you could resell it if you wanted to and maybe make a profit
on it. That's true. We didn't talk about the Air Temple now that I'm thinking about it, because the Air Temple is basically entirely comprised of jet streams that you have to jump into and maneuver yourself across. Like, it's like a Mario level. I want to compare it to, like, because you don't blow up in a huge balloon like on Tubular, but it's all about like having to maneuver across a whole stage with hardly any ground.
Yeah, not much land at all. It reminded me of, I think I've talked about this on the show before, the game that I played on a Macintosh in middle school where you control a paper airplane and you try to go as far as possible by riding air currents. So I liked that. I wish that I had been an airplane instead of a monk.
Because, yeah, I'm just continually impressed by just how much they changed it up and kept it fresh and kept every level interesting and playing differently and...
Yeah.
Well done, all around.
Super game. Super game. I am really actually upset that it was not on IGN's top
100. Yeah, I mean, clearly they did... They could not have done research. They could not have looked into it. Because if you're going to do a top 100 games, you need to look at all the games and pick the top 100.
Yeah, and you need to set a criteria too. Because it's like, I can understand like this game not being on the list if the criteria is like, okay, the game had to sell this many copies, it had to average this review. Like, I get that. But it seems like they did not have a criteria at all. Yeah. It was just wide open. So why isn't Skyblazer on that list? It's probably because of the name. They got it confused at Soulblazer.
Soulblazer. No, we
got that on there already.
It's on there.
Check. Look. Soulblazer. Look. Got the night guy with the sword. It's fine.
Anything else?
I tried really, really hard, okay? Please keep that in mind, that I tried really hard.
Okay.
There's a segment where I read YouTube comments that I stole from Phil. But I want to tell you something. People on YouTube love this game. So, and they're very civil. Like, most of them were like, when I look up a pinball video, like when Chris Edler sent me those pinball videos, and I was like, oh, what are the comments like? They're all like extremely polite. Like, they came from Canadian YouTube or something. So, like, most of the comments were like on this, like all the gameplay videos for Skyblazer were like very complimentary and very polite. Like, yes, I enjoyed this game. Oh, I did not hear about this game when I was a child, but I will check it out now and legally buy it. So I don't really have any good ones. These are the best. These are the two best that I could get. I apologize in advance. Number one, no context whatsoever, by the way. I'm commenting with my good hand. All right.
So you're jerking off the other one?
Makes you wonder. And the second one, this is nice. I do actually like, I'm actually glad that this one might be worth the time that it took just digging through all these polite comments. And yes, the music kicks ass. It does have a very Arabic feel to it. I happen to like that kind of style, even in metal. I usually call it Egyptian metal, though.
All right, that's not Arabic, but okay.
Egyptian metal.
No, anything where the people's skin tone is not mine, it's just it's Arabic. It's fine. That's pretty good.
I'm done, man. Okay. I'm done. I feel like that was some good. We had some good E-fuck talk. We had some good Max Hardcore. We talked about the game a lot.
We hit all our strong suits.
Yeah. We didn't mention buttholes nearly enough, but that's okay. Well, next episode.
Click around on Max Hardcore and E-fuck. You'll get your fill of buttholes. So thanks for listening, Internet. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, which apparently could be going bankrupt.
Yeah, I heard that news. Isn't that awful? Because I just paid
them. Just paid it.
Like, what? Can we get a refund or anything? Yeah,
exactly. It's like the insurance company I used to have, they declared bankruptcy and just decided, we're just going to pay half all the claims. So, like, all the doctor's bills that I've had, like, supposed to pay 80%. Nope, everyone is 50%. And, like, can't get a hold of these people. They're just gone. They're a big class action lawsuit going on.
I was about
on.
To say.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's going to happen. Like, what's going to happen with SoundCloud? Like, are we going to get, like, I literally paid that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then I read that news and it was like, well, fuck. I wish this would have come to light.
I bet it'll keep going. January. I bet it'll keep going for a little while longer.
Yeah.
But I bet we will get money's worth out of it, or partially, but then it'll just be gone.
Here's the awful
thing. Or somebody else will acquire. Somebody else has to acquire it.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
I wonder who would buy them.
Hmm.
Spreaker, I hear, is doing better.
I don't know what that is. That sounds like someone I went to high school with.
Spreaker, y'all.
Spreaker's doing a lot better. Yeah. I mean, he had cancer and got hit by a car, but I mean, Spreaker's recovering.
He's got that cat now. He's fine.
Let's see. 5-star iTunes reviews. We love them. We still need them. We're going strong for a while. I had new ones almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're out. So please, we need just need more. It's important. So please.
We do.
Find us on iTunes. Steal somebody's phone. Do whatever you have to do.
We can't really say that.
Go and get a whole bunch of like credit cards. Open up like 10 credit cards. It's fine. It's fine. It'll be good. And then with every one of those, you can make a new iTunes account and then leave us another 5-star review.
And it'll be great on your credit report.
Yeah. You need to have as many credit scores as you can.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure every credit card gives you a different.
You got to collect them all. It's kind of like Pokemon. Oh my God. I just thought of, I had the most predatory idea ever. What if Nintendo was like, we're making credit cards, y'all. And then they like just started like printing one Pokemon per credit card.
Oh, fuck.
Oh man, don't you want to charge them all, man? Like
charge them all.
Like there, I know people who would be.
And that Mewtwo card has a 25% interest rate, but I had to get it. And you can only get Mew by buying Mew with Mewtwo.
The credit card that's specifically designed for you to buy other credit cards with.
Oh.
You could artificially like
only in certain countries, so you have to trade with your friends.
Oh man. Oh man. You gotta have a link cable. That's a whole mess.
Oh, so find us on iTunes, at least a 5-star review, subscribe. 5-star review. Write us something in there.
Mm-hmm.
Write us whatever you want. But if there is a guest host you want for an episode, a game you want us to play, a Patreon request, whatever, it's a good place to leave it.
It is.
So whatever you put in there, mm-hmm. we promise we will get to that eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We are going to be talking about Home Improvement.
Yeah.
Home Improvement.
Yeah.
There's a subtitle to that game, but I don't even fucking care enough to give it to you. It's on the Super Nintendo. Look it up. You'll
power,
find it.
Power Tool.
Some Power Tools. So, and there's an exclamation mark in there, too.
That's Power Tool Purge. I feel like it's where the Purge movie series came from.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Tim Allen should be in a Purge movie. I'm not going to lie. When I saw the trailer for the most recent one, I was like, oh, I might actually be interested in this franchise, because I was not prior to the trailer that we saw.
The election year one.
Yeah, that looked like a legitimate horror movie. I didn't when the movie was pitched to me, like when I heard about it, I was like, oh, that sounds like a ridiculous fucking stupid ass adventure kind of bullshit where it's like people are like, yeah, murder. And then I saw this trailer for this movie and I was like, oh, it's a horror movie. Okay, well then that's all of a sudden appealing to me.
The others do sound like torture porn almost.
Yeah.
Like just watch how people, I've never seen one. So yeah. No idea what I'm talking about.
It's a Max Hardcore production is what you're saying.
The purge of her bowels.
Max does Guantanamo. So I was saying something. Home Improvement. Check it out. It's on the Super Nintendo. Buy all the copies you want, because just you got to get ready for this episode. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com, and that's where the show notes live. You can find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. Thank you for everybody who shares us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We didn't get too many shares on Honey Pop, but that's okay.
It could be expected.
We expected it, and that episode did great. Mm-hmm. And like, we've received a lot of compliments on how well Paul and Chandra did, and just how, in general, that was a great episode. So thank you for all the compliments, and we understand why you didn't share it. I also didn't share it. I don't want my Grammy seeing that. I don't want her, oh, David's got a podcast. Let's listen to this. Click. Oh, okay. Oh, well, my daughter raised a raging pervert. Fantastic. Great. I would like to get all of Christmas and birthday money back.
They're putting what in a flashlight?
You know what? I regret that I did not make a perfect joke, a flesh lightsaber, like some kind of tie.
Yeah, if I would have put it in the other end first.
I know. But anyway, you can also find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you very much for everybody who retweets us. The Honey Pop crowd strong on Twitter because no one's grandma's on Twitter. So like people like it. Twitter is still the old West. Amazingly. Like you can just shout all the things that you want on there and nothing happens to you.
Well, all young people like don't have Facebook now because right. It's just like controlled by the older population.
Yeah.
So they don't want to fuck with it. So like, but they're still on Twitter and all the old people don't get on Twitter as much. It's all about Facebook and pictures and events and
Periscope.
Tags
yeah. You know the old folks love the Periscope.
Down Periscope.
Do you think Kelsey Grammer has a Periscope account?
I hope so.
Because that's like...
I'm going to get on it.
That seems like an obvious one, right? you can call us if you want. 270-883-2555. Leave us a voicemail. Send us a text message. And it could wind up on an upcoming episode. We do have a Patreon, which was mentioned earlier. Thank you very much to everybody who donates on there. It's a wonderful thing, and it helps us pay our hosting fees, and eventually we're going to buy things with it. And instead of just being, having to claim it as income on taxes, we're going to do things with it.
Turns out you need to do something with
it. Yeah, it's weird. If you don't use it, the government just takes it away. So if you want to be one of our great donors, please visit us at patreon.com/tadpog and donate there. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
We do a bonus episode. Like each month we do a bonus episode, and that's how you get it.
Yep. And then we already gave that address out once, but if there's something you want to use to fill Nicole's aching box, please send it to @TadPogStudios or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Care of Nicole Nance, P.O. Box 3785, Paducah, Kentucky 42002.
Well said.
Our theme song is Moon by Sigma Dra. Find a link to that track in the show notes at TadPog.com.
Perfect.
How would we close this out, Dave?
That's a good question. Like, I'd say Vegeta, but I don't know what he sounds like. So let's do Vegeta.
Okay. They can do that. So until next time.
Tropical
Capricorn!
You guys!
Kakarot!
What is a Kakarot?
That is Goku's Saiyan name.
Okay. Is that like his true name?
Yep.
So Vegeta has power over him because he knows
his Vegeta's name? The only one that calls him that.
Oh, I see. So it's like calling somebody you... Because, okay... There are people that I call by their last name, like Miller, but I like Miller.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I feel like using somebody's last name, like when you're not friendly with them, is like a slight. So it's kind of like that. It's like Kakarot.
Be a little bit.
Is it his last name?
Well,
is it his Christian name is what I'm asking.
It's saying Christian name. Because everyone else calls him Goku. That's what his grandfather named him when he fell to Earth or whatever.
Charles Kakarot. Kakarot. Kakarot?
Kakarot. Kakarot.
Kakarot.
That's the porn parody. So I guess we do have one last outgoing message.
Yeah, I do. And that is, hey, Josh Edwards. Panties.
Panties, panties, panties. Panties, 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 panties. Panties.
We just lost him. He's no longer subscribed.